You're welcome back to part three of Religion Matters. This is Brenda Dunn with you until 9 o'clock for the next few minutes here on KFM. I hope that you and yours are well. My final guest this morning joins me as he prepares to open a holy door in Dushk Abbey and as he prepares to take part in a pilgrim walk. You're very welcome back to Religion Matters, Bishop Dennis Nulty. How are you?
Brenda, I'm absolutely in great form. Today is a wonderful day for me. I'm going to be going very shortly now for the reopening ceremony of Newtown Church in Kilcock Parish
Then
straight down to Regna Manor for the opening of the fourth holy door, nominated holy door in our diocese. What a tremendous day ahead of us and a lovely walk from St. Mullins up the Barrow track all the way to Regna Manor.
Okay, so what was the idea behind the holy doors? As you said, this is the fourth one that you're going to open in the diocese.
I'm trying to make the year of mercy accessible to people. I think the gospel of the day is the prodigal son. It's a powerful one. It's the story of the brother who goes away and then comes back, and then the one who's at home who feels a sense of anger in his heart. I want to make this year of mercy applicable to each and everyone. In other words, we're not going to just have a few people going to a cathedral or going to a basilica or going to a shrine. But it makes the church, it's a local church, and therefore local doors, holy doors at a local level, if you like, Brenda. That's what I've tried to do.
Yeah, and what will happen after the conclusion of the Year of Mercy, the Jubilee Year of Mercy? What happens to the holy doors once the Jubilee concludes?
Once the Jubilee door, unlike in Rome, that the holy door in Rome will be sealed up for another year, they won't be, because the holy doors in parishes in Kildare and Loughlin have been the main doors of the churches. So they will continue in full use. There'll be no issue there at all. But what we will essentially be doing is each church that had a holy door will get a special apostolic blessing, which I'm organising with Pope Francis at the moment, for the diocese and for the particular parishes that engaged in this wonderful Year of Mercy project for us.
Yeah, and have you been pleased with how the Year of Mercy has been received in the diocese here?
I'm delighted with it. As you know, Brenda, I'm always an optimist who sees the glass half full, and I really am delighted. It's been very good to try to experience mercy. Now, I want to say, for all of us, we're challenged at times to live mercy. It's easy to open a door. It's easy to walk through. But we also have to walk out into the wider community, particularly the people that we might be fighting with or arguing or difficult with, and try to make more sense of mercy in our lives. We still have a work to do there, I think.
Mercy in words as well as mercy in action.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I look forward to this coming few days. I'll be beginning the opening year retreat for the seminarians in St. Patrick's College, Maynooth, leading their retreat. And again, a strong theme there will be the theme of mercy and how it sits for all of us in our life.
Now, if people are listening this morning, and of course there are in their thousands, what can they join you on this walk and at the opening of the Holy Door today?
They certainly can. Please make their way to St. Mullins, to say the Well of St. Mulling. We're beginning there at about 1:30 in the afternoon. We're going to begin our walk 1:30, quarter to 2, and we're making our journey then a nice slow pace. I'm not, I walk a lot myself, but I go at an easier pace, so it's not an athlete's run, so they can relax and they'll enjoy the walk. And many of the young people who travel with me to World Youth Day are coming for a reunion also this afternoon in Regna Manor.
That's great. And then the Holy Door is opened at the conclusion of the walk.
I have Mass at 4 o'clock, a special Mass at 4 o'clock in Regna Manor, and the Holy Door will be opened at the beginning of the Mass.
Okay, that's great. And the last time, of course, we were talking to you, you were heading off to World Youth Day. I think the bus was waiting for you.
A wonderful success. 133, went with 133, Brenda, and came home with 133. That's a success.
Thank goodness for that. I think we're going to probably at some time devote a programme to World Youth Day Reflections. As I think when you come back from an event like that, it's important to let the dust settle, the work and the experience of
it
sink in.
But we would look forward to that.
Yeah.
Please come back to us on that.
Oh,
I'd
definitely
really look forward to a programme like that. That would be super.
Absolutely, definitely. And what next then? I mean, the Year of Mercy concludes and then I suppose the preparations really start in earnest for the World Meeting of Families. We were chatting about it this morning in the context of the Grandparents Pilgrimage, which is on today down in Knock. And are you starting to sort of gear up in the diocese now for the World Meeting of Families in 2018?
No doubt about that. We're putting together a committee to support the family and get ready for the World Meeting of Families in our diocese. We have invited many people to go to the gathering in October in Dublin, around the year of the World Meeting of Families, and we've invited people from the diocese to have an opening out of that gathering in October in Dublin. We'll form a local diocesan group who will be the main ones rolling out, I suppose, that very important conference and a very important year in our diocese as well for the World Meeting Families in 2018.
Now we've had many years, we've had many themed events, we've had we've had Jubilee years before. I would hope that people would agree, but I think the Year of Mercy has been something very special, led of course by Pope Francis.
It has been wonderful, and Pope Francis is an icon of mercy. He canonized last Sunday St. Teresa of Calcutta, called her the icon of mercy, but I think he himself is also an icon of mercy when you see him embracing the special needs child in the middle of St. Peter's, embracing the one who is wounded, you know, making time for the one who feels lost or abandoned, trying to make the process of annulment a bit easier. He's done so much for all of us to give this year a great lift.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to let you head off and get your walking boots
on. My first port of call is Newtown for the reopening of Newtown Church. Wonderful job in the church up there. Look forward to going up to support Father John Brickley and Father George Augustine there and all the people of Newtown on my way up there to opening Mass there at 10 o'clock, 10:30 this morning.
And, of course, that'll be bittersweet because Father PJ is still very much missed from
Kilcocken.
Absolutely.
They did a lovely
Newtown
golf classic for him on Thursday evening and Friday last. And again, a fundraiser for Newtown. So he's fondly remembered, no doubt. And also, I fondly remember this morning Father Pat Ramsbottom, whose funeral mass I have tomorrow in Cullera, and very fondly remembered. Father Pat worked in Naas and worked in different areas of our diocese. So he's fondly remembered. May he rest in peace.
Well, on that note, we will let you go. We look forward to catching up with you about World Youth Day in the weeks to come. And thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Brenda, so much. God bless you.